Astroid Gold.
Every 2 years, the legislature basically hangs it up for the year in March.
Astroid Gold.
Sign me up, I'll go first.
Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Jane, how you doing?
I am fantastic.
We had a day off yesterday.
We did have a day off. We did a rerun yesterday, but we were both still very, very busy at work.
Oh, yeah. We definitely didn't take the day off.
No.
We just did not have a live show yesterday, but we'll talk more about that later. We'll talk more about my time at the Packer game on Sunday later, but right now, we're going to get right into it, because we have a full hour with one of, if not the most, exciting young leader in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And I appreciate when he gets described as a young leader, because we are the same age. But the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley, is here in studio.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's so glad to be in studio and to be here. I want to say thank you for having me on the show, and welcome to all your listeners.
Yeah, so welcome to Waukesha.
Thank you.
So if we're just
The Shaw.
All right. So I think this is the first time we've maybe met once, but this is the first time we're really chatting.
Yeah.
And we're chatting for a while. But you were sworn into office in May 2020, which was right when I had moved back to Wisconsin. And I remember it being a big deal. You were the youngest Milwaukee County executive. Mm-hmm. You're the first Black person to hold that position. And I remember people were very excited. So now, 2 years later, how's it going?
Great question. You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm reminiscing about, you know, May 4th, 2020, when I was sworn in, wearing masks on, being sworn in front of my house outside with masks on, because we still had no clue what COVID-19 was. But I can definitely say it's been a roller coaster of a ride when you think about, you know, being sworn in and having to challenge the challenge of the pandemic, you know, seeing many of the disparities just worsen and really rear its ugly head and show the community what we were facing. But I would say that it's came with a lot of opportunity as well. When you think about the CARES dollars, the ARPA dollars, and how we've been able to reinvest those dollars back into the community, we've been able to do a lot of good. And so there has been a lot of challenges. I would say that there's a lot of opportunities, but right now I'm just glad that I get a chance to actually be face to face with individuals now. So I didn't have a chance to do that when I was first elected.
Yeah, that is, it's almost, it's especially, what was it last week that Joe Biden said the pandemic is over? It's officially over.
Well, you know,
but we'll see.
Here.
Knock on wood. But it is. I mean, time is now just, what is time? As far as feeling like that was 2 years ago, which feels like forever ago, yeah. And yet it also goes by very quickly. And so, yeah. I think obviously, even as of this morning, I woke up and saw the headline that Mayor Johnson has released at least his budget proposal. Mm-hmm. And I think as anyone who follows the news knows that both the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee is facing a fiscal cliff and financial issues. And I know this month the county is also releasing their budget. Mm-hmm. And so I think what the headline was something along the lines of the reluctant cuts that the city has to make. Yeah. And I know there's going to be reluctant cuts that the county has to make. But what can people expect as far as the hard choices that you all have had to make when it comes to the budget this time around?
Well, I truly appreciate you talking about it. I mean, when we think about how we just fund local municipalities just in general, you know, not just within the city or the county of Milwaukee, just across this state, it's pretty antiquated. And so the issues that is facing the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County when it comes down to those financial challenges are not unique to just Milwaukee. They are being felt by municipalities, cities, towns, villages, and other counties across the state. But it's just a little bit different for us because, you know, we're the largest by population, you know, as far as the county and as far as the city. So the scale is a little bit different. But what I will say is that when we think about, because of, you know, President Biden and the ARPA dollars that we have seen, a lot of the money that we have seen from the bipartisan infrastructure dollars, you know, we have been able to really, you know, figure out how to fill in these gaps without having any major service cuts to any of the programs or services that we are providing. Now, you know, we can say that now, right?
Yeah.
But when we think about the next year or the year after, because of ARPA, because we have these dollars right now to help us bridge the gap, that's what's literally what's helping us right now. And so when you think about what we have done as a county, I mean, we have reduced our expenditures by $300 million over the past 12 years. We've found ways to create efficiencies. We've streamlined departments. We've combined different departments. But we're in a place right now where we can't cut our way out of this deficit. This structural deficit is mainly because of the laws that are in place at the state level that doesn't allow us to increase revenues. So our costs are going up about 2% every year, yet we cannot increase our revenues more than 1% when you think about the property tax levy. And so it's getting out of hand. It's a structural deficit. And what we are just basically saying is you don't need to give us any money. What we want is the tools that we need so we can increase the revenue, so we can invest in the people that hold near and dear to them, which is the people who not only live here, but the people who work here, but also come down to enjoy our recreational activities.
And so the big proposal that's... I would love to hear if there's been progress on it, but
the big
proposal is being able to have a increased sales tax mm-hmm. in Milwaukee by 1%.
Yep.
And so when we see how much, like you said, people who commute every day into Milwaukee, people go to see the Bucks, people who go to see the Brewers, and there's people who go see the arts. Like we have mm-hmm. so many reasons for people who don't live in Milwaukee who still come and enjoy things in Milwaukee, and yet they're not paying property taxes. Like they're not paying
Correct.
Things that go into the city functioning
Correct.
And the county functioning. And so there's not been a lot of, I know last year, they were trying to even allow us to vote
Right.
on being able to decide as voters
Yeah.
if we want a sales tax. And the state legislature didn't even let us do that. And so has there been progress there as far as potentially getting this done?
Yeah, well, I am relentlessly optimistic. You know, I would say that, you know, we've been able to not only open the books and show the state what we have done and what we're spending these dollars on, but we've also shown them the ramifications if we don't help out, you know, the leading economic driver of this state, which is the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. And so, you know, we haven't had the door shut on us yet, and no one has not said no explicitly at this moment. So we believe that, you know, we are making progress. And with the fact that we've been able to not only to, you know, bring 20 legislators down to Milwaukee County, right, one, to give them an update of what's happening with the Republican National Convention that's coming in town in the next couple of years, but also to show them what we have to offer just in general. When you think about Milwaukee, you know, we're no different than, you know, the Denvers, than the Pittsburghs, than, mm-hmm. you know, I would also argue the city of Miami's, right? We don't have the type of weather, but we're bigger in population. We have a lot of the same things that are going on, actually. Yeah.
We have a bigger population than Miami.
The city of Miami, not Miami.
Not the metro. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
But when you think about Denver, Pittsburgh, we are the city of Milwaukee is much larger than those areas. But we have also the same issues, right? We have issues of crime. We have issues, you know, or challenges when it comes down to the stolen cars and things of that nature. Yet that's not the narrative there, right? Because they actually have the ability to increase their revenues and make certain types of investments. And so when you compare our county and our city to other municipalities across the state, they have a lot more flexibility when it comes down to how they can increase their revenues and invest back into the people that live there. And so, you know, if we want to invest in our county transit system, if we want to invest in our parks, if we want to invest in our senior services, our youth programs, our disability programs, so on and so forth, we're going to need this tool so we can make sure that our local tax dollars aren't necessarily just paying for state mandated programs, but it's paying for programs that directly impact the people who live here.
We're talking to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley for the full hour today
Yes.
until 12. So knock on wood that happens.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, what other solutions are at our what else can we do?
You know, a lot of people ask, so, you know, like, what kind of authority do we have when it comes down to raising revenue? So, you know, one of the things is that, you know, people can say, well, why don't you ask for more shared revenue, right, from the state? Well, we would have to. They would have to increase share revenue by 600%, and I don't see that happening.
To fix the
scale and the gap that we have, 600%. You know, if you wanted to do it, through property taxes, we could do that, but that would require a 40% increase in property taxes across the board. And so far, I like my job, so I'm not trying to put that one on the table. But people say, well, you know, what about the vehicle registration fee, right? Which is already high, you know. But even if we was to increase the vehicle registration fee, those dollars could only pretty much go towards transportation type costs, transportation type fixes. So it's pretty much roads and transit that it can fill the gap for. But there aren't many options that we have because we don't have taxing authority unless the state gives us that ability. And you know, some areas around the country, they have a premier resort alternative tax to where those dollars can stay there locally. And so we're almost asking for like something similar, like a reciprocity to what they have in like a Rhineland or what they have in the Wisconsin Dells, so we can keep that money here. And, you know, and I get it. You know, some people will say, well, you know, you're putting a tax out there right now during one of the toughest times of our economy, you know. But one of the things that we want to do with this tax is, it would generate about $160 million. We would, use a third of that to buy down all property taxes across the county, which would probably be the largest property tax cut that we have seen in our history at the local level. But what's more regressive is that if we don't have that tax and we have to eliminate our bus system, and we have to eliminate our senior programs, and we have to eliminate the programs within, you know, the juvenile justice system, or anything that isn't quote unquote state mandated, like our Milwaukee County park systems, that becomes even more regressive. And so if we don't have the ability to invest in a quality of living into the mental and the physical well-being, things that keep people connected to their own communities, we're going to see a lot worse coming out of this particular area, because we have to be able to make investments in the community. But unfortunately, for the past couple of decades, we've had to start with, where do we divest from?
Well, and that's what's so interesting. I feel like again and again, you see headlines that show studies of a social safety net, you know, decreases child poverty, mm-hmm. like what we have, investments in healthcare decrease crime, and all of these things, as far as there's more ways to solve crime than just more police, which we can't afford anyway.
I mean, absolutely. You know, you may say, well, we need more police. Well, even if you pay for police, how are you going to pay for all the back end work, right?
Exactly.
The pension, so on and so forth.
All right. Well, we got to go to our first break, but we are joined this whole hour by the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley, and we'll be right back.
I was wrong.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Now, we don't have to stay on it long, but I know in August there was quiet meetings with 20 different Republican state leaders, some of whom were your colleagues when you were in the assembly, as between you and Mayor Johnson trying to start anew with the relationship between Milwaukee and the state legislature. How did that go?
I would say it went well. I mean, you know, when you think about the relationship that the state legislature in Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, have had in the past for 2-3 decades, it's clear that we have to hit a reset button.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, it's nice that I've had a few laps around the track in Madison, you know, serving in the state legislature, working in the state legislature, being there for 7 years. You know, I've developed my own relationships. And so one, you know, being able to bring those legislators, because many of them wanted to know, well, first and foremost, how the heck did we get the Republican National Convention? So it was an opportunity for us to kind of showcase, you know, the work that went into it. And, you know, shout out to all the players, Visit Milwaukee, you know, their board, Gerard Randall, you know, County Executive Paul Farrell. You know, everybody really came to the table to kind of showcase what we had to do. But it was also an opportunity to show them what we have been doing and what Milwaukee has to offer to the rest of the city, one, talking about what's the difference between the city of Milwaukee and the difference between Milwaukee County, because we know that a lot of people, you know, try to make it seem it's the same, but it's not necessarily the same. And so we had opportunity as well to really, you know, talk about the what's on the table, the issues that are facing, you know, the city of Milwaukee County when it comes to public safety, when it comes down to the pension problems, when it comes down to really being able to invest in the quality of living issues. When we think about, again, like our parks and our Milwaukee County transit system. And I would say that many of the individuals who came down here had their eyes and ears wide open, willing and being intentional and listening to the issues that they were facing the city and Milwaukee County. Now, you do have some folks out there who, you know, they have their concerns, you know, and some people who have the rhetoric they want to continuously put out there. But I really think that this is a moment, this is a time when you think about all the politics that we have seen in the past, you know, 2 to 6 years, for us to focus on how do we really bring people to the table and work together. You know, when I first ran, I talked about the fact that, you know, when you think about local government, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, you know, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines, right? You know, filling potholes doesn't have partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines. And so it's a great opportunity to showcase what we can do together, how we are different, but more importantly, how we just need a partnership. And I'm excited. Again, it's one of the reasons why I'm optimistic as far as where we are, being able to work with the state and, you know, and getting the respect that we actually deserve as the largest population in the state, but also being a partner with all the other communities as we move the state forward.
Well, that's encouraging. Out of the people who came, or the state, the Republican state lawmakers, who's the most fun to drink with?
Who's the most fun to drink with?
So they really get the hard-hitting questions on this show.
I don't know if I should be picking anybody right now, but you know, I would say that there's a few that I actually like to hang out with. Some of them didn't come down that night. But I've had opportunity to kind of go around. I mean, just last week I was in Chippewa Falls, right, with both Jesse James and Rob Summerfield, and I had the opportunity to tap the Golden Keg up there, and you know, basically kicking off Oktoberfest. So those guys could be pretty fun. I had a chance, you know, always seeing, you know, Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Lemon Hugh, and you know, but then you think about some of the people that I've just hang out with. But I'm not going to throw too many names out there, you know, because, you know, it's politics. And so some things are better kept in the dark, particularly when we're drinking and having some of our best conversations.
Well, I asked because, but partially because I think it's funny, but mostly because I think since moving back and realizing the partisan rhetoric in this state, I think it's very easy to sometimes treat the other side as not human beings.
Well, I think that's the problem,
like,
that we're seeing.
Whether it's Ron Johnson or Robin Voss, and you see, I mean, you're on Twitter, like, you see there's those certain anonymous accounts that just every time any of these people tweet, they're there with something.
I got my amount of trolls now.
Right?
Just one guy, you know, who literally comments just a laughing emoji on everything that I post, right? But I think that, you know, I always joke around, right? I mean, there are people who policies that we absolutely love, and then we meet them as a person, and you're like, I don't know if I really like you as a person. Love your policies, but I don't really like you as a person. But then there are people where you look at their policies, and it's just like, there's no way I can vote for this. But once we're done voting and we want to be on different sides, you know, let's go have a drink because you're a pretty cool guy and I like hanging out with you, or a pretty cool woman, I like hanging out with you. And so, you know, we just got to get to that point, just in general in politics. There's no more win-win situations almost anymore. It's, you know, we're creating these situations where it's just win-lose. Somebody has to be on the losing stick. But that's not why government was created. It's to figure out how we can make life better for everybody, no matter what side of the aisle you're on or what you believe in.
Well, exactly. And that goes back to what you were saying before, is that so much of what governing is responsible for isn't partisan.
Right.
It's not. It's the garbage pickup. It's the parks. It's the things that are public goods that we all enjoy. And how do we fund that? How do we allocate resources? How do we make sure the people who are employed to work at those places are trained and good at their jobs? And there's so much stuff that we all enjoy, no matter what party we are.
Right.
And even necessarily where we live, because we travel to take advantage of different parts of our state, that whether it's state parks. So I think I agree with you as far as trying to be a little bit more collaborative,
yeah,
and cross party lines is a good thing.
No one cares what you know until they know how much you care. So I believe in building relationships.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take another break, but we are still going to be joined by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley when we come back. And going to talk about some of the achievements, some of the things that are on board as far as mental health center and new transit stuff. And then want to talk about the Bucks at some point. And we got a lot to come. So this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bray.
That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. Trying to reach the things that I can't see. So am I wrong? Am I wrong? For thinking that we could be something for real.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh.
Now am I wrong?
Am I wrong?
For trying to reach the things that I can't see.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But that's just how.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. So we talked the first half hour about some of the challenges, some of the budget challenges that we're facing, but that doesn't mean that you haven't had some big wins.
Yeah.
And even this month, there's a new mental health emergency center that is a community-based model.
Yes.
Now, how does that differ from what we have been doing?
It's much different than what we used to do. You know, when you think about the history of mental health with Milwaukee County, we actually used to have our own mental health hospital. It's where we used to house, you know, hundreds of people, you know, out in the county grounds at one point. But we've had to, you know, actually, you know, look at our behavioral health services and actually redesign it. And with the help of, you know, practitioners, with the community, you know, we've been focusing on how do we give people more community-based care versus institutionalizing them within the county. And so we do have a private hospital with Universal, which is located in West Allis for individuals who need that in-person care. But when you think about the Mental Health Emergency Center, which is now going to be located just north of 12th and Valley by the Cox building, this is going to give us the ability to really provide assistance to people who are in emergency crisis, right? And so when you think about 70% of the people that we would serve at the mental health complex, the behavioral health complex in Wauwatosa, came either lived or around the Cox building. And so bringing that to the city of Milwaukee right there or just north of downtown is going to provide even greater access. And this is a once of a kind, you know, partnership. You know, we're the first, you know, in the country to have a partnership not with all four healthcare systems. So this is with Ascension, Advocate Aurora, Frederick Hospitals, and Children's Hospital as well, to where, you know, they're going to be assisting us with the type of emergency care that we're going to provide. And so these are for individuals who want that voluntary treatment, so they have a separate interest, for folks who are coming in on their own who need some assistance. Individuals for involuntary treatment, let's say if like a Chapter 51 hole and the police needs to drop someone off, they will have that ability to do so. There'll be a separate interest for our young people to make sure that they're getting access to the type of care that they need. But this is about equity. When you think about how we've utilized a criminal justice system as the largest form of institutionalizing individuals with a diagnosed or an undiagnosed mental health issue, you know, we need to make sure that we're putting our money where our mouth is. And this is how we bridge the gap and actually invest in equity. So we're really excited for this to be opening up, you know, just opened up earlier this month, a long time coming, you know. So I got to make sure I give a shout out to the Department of Health and Human Services, you know, the whole BHD team, as well as the Mental Health Task Force, for all the work that they've put into this over the years to make sure that this could happen. So we're really excited about this.
Yeah, that sounds, I mean, and so it's interesting because I feel like every year there's more and more recognition that a lot of the core root cause of a lot of different society ills is unaddressed mental health mm-hmm. issues. And so as we know that there is a need there, is the demand there as well? Like, is there people who are reaching out, and there hasn't been the resources there. Because it's one thing to build it; it's also another thing to have people come and actually utilize right. the available resources.
Well, I would say that we still have to normalize conversations about mental health, right? And I always tell people that when we talk about mental health, people look at that, oh, I have a problem. But it's just like there's a spectrum of mental wellness. You know, there are days where you are upbeat and you feel fine and you want to go out there and change the world, and there are days where you may feel depressed and you may feel down and you feel like, you know, you need something to help pick you up. And so we have to normalize conversations around mental wellness and mental health and really break down the stigma. And when you think about what we've seen in the past 2 years, we've seen an increase in mental health calls over the pandemic because people were isolated. You know, we told people, you know, to stay at home, but staying at home isn't necessarily the safest place for everybody. And so, you know, we recognize that not only do we need to make sure that we build it, but we need to make sure that we're bringing, you know, these resources directly to people's front doors. And so, you know, over the summer, we started a community health and healing conversation. You know, I grew up in a household where, you know, when you think about housing being an issue, when you think about addiction being an issue or mental health being an issue, I understand what that stigma looks like. And so we wanted to normalize those conversations. We brought community practitioners and nonprofit leaders to the table to have this conversation to figure out how we normalize, you know, talking about mental wellness in general in the community. But more importantly, we wanted to bring those resources directly to people. We know that we still have a long road ahead of us when it comes down to making sure that people understand the types of programs and services that we offer at Milwaukee County. But even if we don't offer them at Milwaukee County, who are we connected with that we can, you know, help guide individuals to make sure that they're getting the resource that they need?
We're talking to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Now, you just mentioned the house you grew up in, mm-hmm. and I wanted to... This was back in April, but my colleague over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, mm-hmm. had a series of articles that came out with the release of Marlon Dixon, who at 14 was tried as an adult for the murder of Charlie Young. And one of those stories featured you and mm-hmm. profiled kind of the sliding door situation of that there was very much a chance that you would have been with the group of kids that yeah. was involved in the beating of Charlie Young had you not moved and been you'd been evicted
yeah.
two months before. And there's, if you haven't read this, read all of the articles by James Causey, yeah. first of all. He is a treasure. But that series specifically was so powerful, and it talked not only just about Marlon, but just so much of the plight of Milwaukee and North Side and children and things that are going on. But I felt like your story is so, it exemplifies the razor's edge
yeah.
that Black kids in Milwaukee live on.
Yeah.
You were there or not there on a single evening, and it can change the trajectory of your life.
I mean, that's the thing, right? And that's one of the reasons why we are so focused on like the social determinants of health. You know, so many people out there may say, well, you know, what you believe in and what you become is based off of your own, you know, your own gumption, your own
bootstraps.
And like a lot of it actually depends on your own environment, right? Like, do you have access to or your family have access to a good paying job? Do you have access to transportation, to healthcare, to good education? You know, what is your environment like? And, you know, just thinking about it, you know, back then I had no clue. I had no clue that, oh man, I just got evicted. It took me away from my friends and all these things, not even understanding how that was a blessing in disguise, in a sense. You know, no one wants to get evicted. And you talk about my story, we were evicted 3 times within a 2.5 year span, you know, because my mother wasn't able to pay rent. Not because she didn't want to, but she wasn't getting enough hours. She worked waitstaff. She had to bartend. She had to go out there and be a Jane of all trades to figure out how she was going to put food on the table. And even when my dad was still doing what he was doing, he was still struggling with his own issues at the time. But when I go back and I think about, you know, literally being evicted 2 months prior to that and all the things that I was exposed to in that neighborhood, you know, I can say that I'm a man of God, so I always go back and say, you know, by the grace of God, I am here where I am. But I think it's important that folks understand one of the reasons why I ran for county was because how it was so connected to the services. So when we got evicted, you had to go to the housing division at Milwaukee County to figure out what kind of assistance you were going to get. You know, are we going to stay at the Salvation Army, or are we going to stay with Auntie Tina or Auntie KK, right? You know, when you have somebody in your family who's going through their own crisis related to mental health, whether that was my mother or someone else within the household, how do we make sure that they're getting the services that they need? How do we know? Who do we call? And so being able to use my story was a way to get people to understand, you know, what the county should be doing in the lives of others, but more importantly, that government should be working for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that is the real goal, is making sure that people can believe in local government again, see a government that can work. And, you know, but I don't do it alone. You know, when you think about this administration, and when you think about, you know, the county board chairwoman, Marcelia Nicholson, and her colleagues and all the supervisors, we're constantly having conversations about how we can get better. And it's not to say that we're always on the same page. Right, you're going to have disagreements, but we all know what the end goal is, and that's what the big picture is about.
Absolutely, and I mean, I think that is where do you start, right? Is because there is. I live in Milwaukee. Will always live in Milwaukee. I am happy to live here, and yet there are issues, and mm-hmm. so like seeing the resources that were available, whether it was from the government. Or different mentorship or different nonprofits and stuff that you were involved in that shaped you to be who you are and obviously mm-hmm. gained the success that you've gained beyond the government and what is at the resources the government can provide. What other initiatives or investments do you feel like we need to have more kids follow your path or similar path? Mm-hmm. And keep more from slipping through the cracks?
I mean, great question. You know, I always say it starts with education. And when I say education, I don't necessarily mean in the four walls of a school building, right? Because you could be educated by individuals on your block. You could be educated by your family, your friends. For me, you know, when I was a junior in high school, I gained that education from a youth-led organization called Urban Underground. And I would say that what was unique about Urban Underground, you know, during that time is that even though you know, Reggie and Charlene, who are the creators of Urban Underground, they were there, but they really put it in the hands of the young people to lead the organization. So, you know, at the age of 17, 18 years old, you know, we're all working together, figuring out what we want to organize around, not being told what to organize around, right? What's important to us? But also, you know, instead of saying, okay, Reg, I need you to go do this, they would say, okay, what tools do you need in order for you to be able to do this? So, you know, at the age of 17, 18, being able to work within the team, learning how to lead within the team, understanding group dynamics, but more importantly, how the rest of society impacts my life in some type of capacity, learning that at an early age just put me on this path to where I was just like, the sky's the limit. But being able to have, you know, I was just a seed, but being able to have other individuals, you know, cultivate me, you know, plant me, water me, you know, give me the nutrients I needed to necessarily needed to grow and be who I am today. I think it's important for me to always go back and do the exact same. And we have to do that. But, you know, we have to really invest in young people and honestly give them some responsibility and put them in a position to fail. And I always say, you know, to fail, because if you want to be successful, you're going to have to double your failure rate. And the only thing bad about failure is if you have not learned from that failure. You know, and if you continue to go along and do the exact same thing, that's when it becomes a problem. But when you think about, you know, when these computers were created, when you think about, you know, the microphone was created, all these things were created, it didn't happen on the first try. You know, mm-hmm. somebody had to fail. And we got to get our young people the opportunity, you know, to fail up. To where they understand that when they fail, they have opportunity to get back up and they can do whatever needs to be done. But we also have to hold them accountable. And I think that we've lost that in our society today.
Say more about that.
When I talk about accountability, I mean, I remember you know, where we always used to say it takes a village to raise a family, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I remember growing up, you know, 23rd and Burleigh or 22nd and Brown, I can walk down the street to the corner store and the folks who work at the store knew my mother. You know, or at least five adults will say hello to me walking down the block. Nowadays, you know, I remember, you know, the reason why I stopped sagging my pants was, you know, I grew up on a block where everybody spoke to me. And there was one time where, you know, I'm walking down the street and, you know, and it was, you know, two ladies walking down the street, and they literally crossed the street when I was coming. And I didn't understand why. It was just like I lived over here my whole life. What was the difference? And the difference was my pants were sagging. And like, I stopped sagging my pants, and then, like, the perception of me changed, right? And so for me, when I say that, like, there has to be a level of accountability, a lot of the times when we see young people doing certain things, we don't say anything to them. Because we're afraid. We're afraid to actually build a relationship with them. When in reality, it's just like, yo, what are you doing over there? And some of them may actually come talk to you because they're probably yearning for some type of attention, looking for somebody to talk to, looking for someone that can help guide them on a different path to where they succeed. So for me, you know, we gotta believe in our young people again and give them some opportunity.
Well, look at you now. Now you wear a suit every day.
Yeah.
No more sagging for you.
No, but I still got my tennis shoes.
All right, well, we got one more break, and then when we come back, David Crowley will still be here. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin.
I'ma make these right with the wrongs I done. That's when I unite with the Father, Son. Till then I fight. Rain on me, put the blame on me. Got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me. Got six magazines that's aimed at me. Done every magazine was fame to me. It's a game to me with the bedroom at. Sleep, I ain't never had a.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest has been David Crowley. This is just, I'm looking at all the list of questions that I was going to ask and the different topics I was going to cover, and there's like four that we aren't even going to have time for. And so I do want to make time for this because I think it's relevant and topical. I thought I was done crying over the videos of little black girls watching the Little Mermaid trailer, but then you posted one of your 5 and your 2-year-old, and we have some of the audio here.
Here we go.
What does she look like?
She was looking like us, like we're a person.
Like, oh my God. She was looking like us.
Yes.
I don't even have a question. I just wanted to play it because it's so, thank you for sharing it. Obviously, like, you know, as an elected official, I think there's probably sometimes it's like how much do you share with your kids because they didn't sign up for this. But like, what a special moment.
You know, 5 and 2, what an innocent age, yeah. You know, and you know, I think everybody has been seeing, you know, the videos being posted. So I was just like, I just want to see how this is going to go, you know. And, you know, Ava's 5. She's, you know, K-5 at German Immersion. Very smart kid. And when she was just like, and you should, for those who didn't see her face, she, at first, when she the face she made, it was like she was disgusted. It was just like, why does she look like that? And I'm like, what do you mean look like that? She's like, look like that. And, like, the thing is that she doesn't see too many princess movies that, you know, they looked exactly like her. And, you know, I remember, you know, for me, it's about making my daughters the most comfortable they've ever been. You know, I grew up in a house where, you know, before my parents split, my mother was the only woman in the household. And now, you know, I'm married with 3 daughters and I'm the only guy.
You're outnumbered.
In the household. But I love it. I love it. I joke with my wife, at least somebody gonna take care of me when I get older. Boys don't take care of dad. The girls do. So, but you know, they're beautiful. And so, you know, these are opportunities, you know, particularly as an elected official, you may be working all the time, depending on the position, you may not be able to be at home. But, you know, I want to take advantage of it as much as possible. You know, I mean, one of the reasons, you know, I never wanted to wear glasses. I knew that my eyes were bad. But once my 5-year-old needed glasses, I wanted her to be comfortable. So I decided I'm going to put my glasses on, you know, and when I think about what they do to me on an everyday basis, you know, I'm glad that I'm able to take them to school, you know, put them to bed every night. And they put a smile on my face. They make me smile all the time. But if it wasn't for those three girls and my wife, there's no way that I'd be able to do this work. They definitely light the fire in my belly to continue to keep going.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, final questions. How are you feeling about the Bucks this year?
I'm excited. I'm excited. Okay, we got Chris Middleton back.
Yeah,
you just need him to continue to stay healthy throughout the playoffs. I think that if he was back, you know, during that Boston run, we would have easily beat Boston. But I'm really excited. First preseason game, October 1st. You know, me and my wife are excited about it. And we're going to bring back another
Because you're season ticket holders, right?
I am a season ticket holder. I've been, you know, it's so funny because my wife, like, surprised me, like, 5 years ago with season tickets. I had no clue. But it was the most exciting time to become a season ticket holder, and I haven't given them up yet.
Yeah, why would you?
No, baby?
As long as we got Giannis, there's always going to be a show to go see.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're such a fun team to cheer for. I will totally admit that I was lucky enough to become a bandwagon fan when I moved here.
Oh, okay.
Because I would say, you know, growing up in Madison, I remember cheering for the Bucks. What would that have been? 99? When did we play Allen Iverson?
That was when we had Ray Allen.
That's when we had Ray
Big
Allen.
Dog, Sam Cassell.
And I remember cheering in that series so hard, but also being mesmerized by Allen Iverson. It was like, wow, he's really good, and he's so small.
That was my first playoff game, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah.
And then I just never really had an NBA team, because I was such a nomad.
Okay.
I certainly wasn't going to cheer for the Lakers. And I did go, the Golden State Warriors were like their first run. I was living in San Francisco. It was fun to cheer for them, but like, sure. I haven't had a team. And then moving back and my first summer living in Milwaukee, having it be the summer where the Bucks won the World Championship. And like, I am a lifelong fan now. I'm wearing my Giannis sneakers now. But
and we just brought a second championship. 2K. 2K Bucks just won this year. So we just did it 2 years in a row.
Now, I know very little about esports.
Okay.
I only learned recently because at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel we had Brandon Tauscher who wrote like why we need to invest in esports. And he had to explain all of this of like the industry, how much money there is in it, like how we won this championship and how it's like a team sport and all this stuff. I was like, okay.
I grew up a gamer.
All right.
So I grew up a gamer. The mayor grew up a gamer. There's a few gamers actually, you know, who are doing some political work, but this is, I am excited.
And the more I learn about it, the more it seems like a great opportunity. And there's so much enthusiasm around it. It's almost the way it was explained to me. It almost feels like a more fun like chess team.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but that's how it is. It's like you're in chess club and you compete at tournaments. And it's but it's a game. It's a game of the mind versus watching someone play a physical sport.
Yeah.
And so but that is true. We did win another championship. I'm not sure it's quite at the same level.
No.
You gonna get out to any Packers games this year?
I'm at least try to. I mean, it was a good win last night.
It's always fun to beat the
Sunday
Bears.
Night. Oh, it's always good.
Always fun to beat the Bears. Especially when one of your friends comes who is a Bears fan and you really get to shove it in their face. All right. Well, is there anything you want people to go sign up for or plug while you're here?
Absolutely. So, you know, two things. You know, we talk about the local option sales tax. So if people are interested in learning more, because, you know, this does affect the state, because if this is something that we're able to do, it won't have a statewide budget impact, which gives other local municipalities more money from the state. So please visit moveforwardmke.com to learn more about it, or you can sign up to say that you are supported and call your legislator. But the other thing is that Milwaukee County, we are hiring literally from A to Z. So from the airport to the zoo, we are looking to hire change makers with individuals who wants to be able to make impact on their communities. So you can always visit jobs.milwaukeecounty.gov or .org and learn more about what positions we have available.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending so much time with us today.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you back soon, maybe after the Buck season has started. We'll get your input on how the season's going.
Hey, we can do a remote live at the Buck game.
I would be down for that. All right. Well, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, thank you so much for spending time today.
Thank you, Kristen.
Can't wait to have you back.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news. And when you come back, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
Miss Regrets, can you please exit out my own? Miss Regret, I think I'm better off alone. regrets. Regret, miss regret. I got these deep regrets. Some things I can't forget. Lord knows I tried my best. You said it's not my best. I came about my flesh. Some things I must confess. Spoke my truth, paid my debt. Can't you see I'm a wreck? Let me loose, I digress. This is me, and I'm blessed. 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 Anybody fighting through the stress? Anybody fighting through the...
ਪਰ ਇੱਕ ਵਾਰ ਬਿੱਟੇ ਖੂਬ ਗੰਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਤੋ ਮੇਰਾ ਲਾਗ ਜਾਵੇਗਾ।